Well, good morning, Zion family here and everyone online. If you're here, we consider you to be family as much as you want to be. And so you can just imagine yourself picking up a chair and pulling it up to the table as we gather together today. I am so grateful to have felt your prayers so strongly this week as I prepared this sermon. And so I'd like to begin with a prayer for each of you. So let's pray together. God, I give you thanks for each person connecting here. I pray for your outpouring of grace and love into each life, that you would provide what you made us to long for. I thank you, God, that you are able, that you are good, and most of all today, that you love us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. So there is an anonymous story going around that someone kept doing the hokey pokey over and over and over. But I want you to rest assured, they've turned themselves around. I know it's cringy. But my guess is that no one here really believes that the hokey pokey is actually what it's all about, like the song says. And yet sometimes we lose our footing. We go round and round in the wilderness, like the Israelites. And whether it's because we're overwhelmed or anxious or fearful or busy or angry, sometimes we find ourselves figuratively in the desert, confused about our purpose in life. We wonder, what are we doing? And if we simplify and say that everything out there in the world tells us that we are the center and that our purpose is to be happy, well, then we end up chasing after the wind. And worse, we assume that everything in here tells us that we're supposed to be miserable. So today, and continuing again in 2 weeks, we will begin to explore some of what Scripture says and how God fits all these pieces together in a beautiful way to help us live with purpose. And I want to plant a seed at the top that in 2 weeks, we have a chance to give to others. We have an opportunity to partner with Mennonite Central Committee to dig wells for people, some of whom are literally in the desert and are experiencing droughts with greater frequency and greater severity than ever before. And you may be wondering, why would we dig wells now when wars continue and when the refugee crisis grows? Well, because right now, many are attentive to those needs and many others who are also thirsty for clean water are overlooked. And so we invite you to talk with your family, consider what can be given. We've got a handout listing more information for you. And I'm curious to see how much love, how much water can we share? So what does all this talk about wells and our purpose and love have to do with our passage for today? Well, to some extent, it can be summed up with my new favorite word. I'd heard this word before, but didn't really understand it as I'm trying to learn it now deep into my being. The word is hesed. Hesed is the Hebrew word for steadfast love. And this is personal for us today. There is no English word that is equivalent. In English, we use the word love to describe how we feel about tacos as well as how we feel about our loved ones. And because of this, we think of love as an amount that can grow in volume or decrease in volume. And today we're going to think about love not just in volume, but in description. In addition to steadfast love, hesed also means loving kindness, generous mercy, and strength. This love is undeserved and forgiving. Hesed love is covenant love. Hesed love means we stay even when it feels easier to leave. And if you were to remove any of those components that I've just named, it's no longer hesed. The word hesed binds all these aspects of love together. The word hesed is a love that sacrifices, for example, one's time or one's money for others. And I want to show you why this word hesed is my new favorite word, and maybe it'll become a favorite for you too. There was a man named David, and Saul, the king, was chasing him, trying to kill him. And before God helps David escape, David is literally in the desert, and he's thirsty. But what he says he's thirsty for is God. He says his whole being longs for God in a dry and parched land where there is no water. God responds with hesed, steadfast love. So let's break down why it matters that God responds with love. Before God responds with provision, God often responds with love. Have you ever had that experience? See, we want it to be the other way around. We want God's provision first because we think of God like a genie in a bottle and we only have three wishes, and so we better use them wisely and not waste our prayers on the small things. No. God says, bring everything to me. Sometimes we understand God's love the most when we receive the sweetness of a whisper of a thought that is barely a prayer. The sweetness of God's love in those instances isn't primarily about God's provision. The sweetness is that God personally cared enough to choose to intervene in a circumstance that no one else knew about. And so we recognize God's love. The Psalms, like this one today, are a prayer book that teach us to pray about everything. And this particular psalm was a morning prayer that people prayed every day. And God, see, God is less like, Patty, I appreciate your descriptions of God. I'll add one. God is less like a genie and more like a best friend. He's nearby, has our best interests at heart, will gently set us straight when we get off track. And more than a best friend, Christ gives and is teaching us to give at Zion Mennonite Church, to give this extraordinary, exceptional love. And God, in a sense, didn't have to show hesed love to David, except as we sang about, God is love. This is God's nature. God chooses mercy. God chooses faithfulness. Someone here was sharing about a set of challenging circumstances that they're navigating. And that situation isn't resolved yet. God hasn't provided resolution yet in the ways that we long for. And yet this person shared that God has been providing love. Before God responds with provision, God often responds with love. Love is who God is. And God made our hearts to long for God, as we also sang about. Thank you, Lori. Yeah. Have you ever noticed that nothing else ever really satisfies? Like you eat a delicious meal, you get hungry again. Any satisfaction in money or security or our devices or achievement or power or anything else that the world tempts us with is temporary. If we seek after money, there's no amount that is ever enough. If we seek after security, as we've talked about in the children's lesson, there is never enough we can do to feel safe enough. Because we were not made for this world. Instead, by being transformed by the renewing of our minds, we will be able to understand God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Verse 3 today says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Now, some of us here are confused by that verse because everywhere we go, we're fed the lie that nothing is better than life, or at least that nothing is supposed to be better than life. And so then when life goes wrong, we get surprised or confused because we thought life was about being happy or being our best. And on the other hand, some of us are thinking, well, yes, actually, life is extremely difficult right now. You or someone you love may be in crisis mode, and it is obvious to see that God's love is better than life because it feels like literally everything is better than life. So whether we fall on the side of everything being better than our lives, or whether we fall on the side of it is impossible for something to be better than life, either way, we haven't really understood God's chesed love and our purpose. David says there is a love that satisfies like the finest Thanksgiving dinner without the bloating or the sluggish side effects. And I love the similarities with Isaiah 55 that pleads for the thirsty and the moneyless to come to the waters without cost. There's God's mercy again. Verse 3 there says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. God, who is love, encourages us to experience chesed love that will satisfy not just our stomachs, but our entire being. Can you imagine? Oftentimes, when we as Mennonites get confused about our purpose, we get confused in one of two directions specific to our Christian faith. We either think that our purpose is only about our relationship with God, or we think our purpose is only about our relationship with others. However, the cross is formed with both beams, vertical and horizontal. If we have chosen to follow Jesus, one of the most important steps is to check that we are carrying both beams of the cross. Here's the way I kept seeing it, and tech team, if you'll follow me for the people online. Children, this is like the boards, the beams that Joy had today in Sunday school class, but longer. The way I pictured it as I was preparing this sermon, there was someone here who is bent over, they're trying to carry their cross, they're working so hard to carry their cross. They've got this long beam stretched along their back, and they've got their arms out, and they're balancing, trying to carry the cross on their back. And what happens is that the board keeps sliding off, and it comes like a plank into their eye. And Jesus said, take the plank out of your own eye so that you can see to remove the speck out of someone else's. If we think our purpose is only the good practices of worship and scripture study and prayer, we forget that we are called to be in right relationship with people. And if we think our purpose is only the good practices of advocating for equality and justice and giving our lives and resources for the poor, we forget that we are called to be in right relationship with God. And either way, we miss our purpose. Our lives are to reflect Christ, who carried both beams. Do you see why I love all the diversity that God has given us at Zion Mennonite Church? Colossians 3, 13 to 14 has rich insights for us about the cross to literally tie this all together. It says, bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now hear this part. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, and tech team, if you'll follow me again, Jesus' love is what is at the center, like a magnet holding these two beams together, and what clarifies our purpose. Jesus' love. So to know what life is really about takes more than the hokey pokey song, and it takes more than just our preferred angle of looking at life. So here are some examples of hesed love that I marvel at. Ruth's love for Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Each person here who stayed when challenges were abundant. That's hesed. The example of Moses after he made two new tablets of stone as he hid in the cleft of the rock. Scripture says, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" Today is 2 years to the day since leaders decided to move our worship services to Zoom only. And during this time of upheaval and loss, when the world longs for division, you have shown mercy and commitment to God and to one another. And we are discovering that God has been uniting us together in love. This is extraordinary. Two more examples. At our leadership retreat this year, we signed a covenant of how we seek to live in relationship with one another. A copy of that document will be on the back table and emailed to you in case you would like to use this with your family or a small group. This is hesed. Ultimately, may we know this word, this love, fully through Christ. In verse 8, David says, "He clings to God. Your right hand upholds me." God's right hand is symbolized as the hand of blessing. Scholars believe this is a picture of God's embrace, with David clinging to God and God's right hand upholding David. What a picture of God's gentle mercy and steadfast love. As we contemplate God's love, as we discern how much love we can share with people who are thirsty, I invite you to hear these words of love from God for you. God said to tell you, "I know what it has been like these last couple of years. I know what you've been through. I've been longing for you as you have been longing for me." God continues, "Nothing satisfies like God. Nothing satisfies like God's love. Nothing satisfies like God's steadfast love." As we go through this desert season of Lent, may we come and drink God's hesed love, and fully satisfied, may we live our purpose even more fully. Amen.